Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because we've got more Dead and Aegis. Yes, I'm going back, and through the summer we're going to go through a bunch of the stuff that we just haven't gotten to, and try to catch up and finish some of these before fall, you know? So that's what we're going to be focusing on right now, getting through a lot of these. Some of them really aren't that long, and we can knock them out. So let's get started. February 28th. Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, you have survived this month. That alone warrants my praise. Thank you, sir. Ayusha's tone is perfectly level, but in her heart she has not one smidgen of respect for this man. She feels no particular emotion that a high-ranking officer is showing concern for her. She does think to herself that her militaristic First Lieutenant of Arumik would probably react to his words with excitement, though. But Yusha knows that in most cases when the superior starts a conversation like this, whatever they're going to say next isn't going to be good. Besides, she can't be the only one he's lavished with such praise. Just months ago, he probably called other people here and told them the exact same things. An organization like this can't have all its calculations and plans hinging on a single woman. She knows this all too well. I see. You really are a bright one. You expect nothing of the organization you're part of, and you're right to do so. This organization isn't trustworthy. And he knows she knows that. Now then, 1 month ago I said you would find chances to demonstrate your wit. I remember, sir. If she can't oppose him, then she would use him. Then I will have you demonstrated right here and now. Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, undo your hair and take off all your clothes. Ah, called it, Ayusha thinks to herself. The heads of men are wired the same way no matter what the place, especially those of men in positions of power. They're all scumbags, consciously so or not. However, she doesn't breathe a word of what is going through her mind. Understood. Ayusha presses a button on her outfit's neck, causing the fabric on her back to fall away so that her skin is exposed to the cold air. The sweat on her skin feels chilly as she continues to remove the collar section. She then pulls away the shoulder section along with the sleeves that extend from it. After that, she pulls her uniform's bottom half off like a pair of trousers. She neither hurries to obey her orders, nor does she make a show of it. With her chest held out almost provocatively, she undoes her hair. Her silvery locks flow down like a waterfall. Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, you seem accustomed to this sort of thing. Whether it's in a classy hotel room, a backstage room in the studio, a love hotel, or a back alley, this act is the same no matter where it's done. Just hurry up already. She's used to men like him. Once they're out of the clothes, men are all the same. She just needs to let them toy with her for a bit. Hi. Yes, sir. If he were someone in showbiz, she would have researched him ahead of time to adjust her reactions to his tastes. If the agency had already told him all about her, then there's no point for her to pretend to be pure and virginal. The fat commander paces around Ayusha, pausing every now and then to focus his gaze upon her. The dead eyes embedded into his face ceaselessly drink in her smooth, pale body. Looking at you fills me with curiosity. Why were you called upon to host so much more often than the other two? After all, each of you three had your own distinct kind of beauty. Indeed, out of their idol unit, Ayusha was the one most often called upon to host and entertain men that would go out of their way to ask for her in particular. I don't know, sir. An image of two girls she'd been together with for so long fills Ayusha's mind, but both of them are gone now. Anna was always shy and reserved, but Grace was singing talent. Yam Yam, who was impulsive, yet also sociable and charming. Both of them were clumsy at times. They didn't know the first thing about getting by in life or reading people's moods. But they were better singers and dancers than her. They should have been desired much more than someone like the overly shrewd Ayusha. If someone were to ask for them for this sort of thing, the other girls would only casually try to discern their tastes and preference before earnestly working as hard as they could to satisfy them. It really was that simple. You don't know, you say. Kennison straightens as he approaches Ayusha. The more she looks at him, the uglier he seems, but she has slept with uglier men than him. Stop putting on airs and just get it over with already. Kennison circles around Ayusha once more, then stops. You are indeed a very beautiful woman, Second Lieutenant. You yourself are quite aware of that, but beauty alone does not cause a man to single out a woman. I don't pretend to know other people's tastes and preferences, sir. Kennison continues to circle her, stopping directly behind her before continuing to speak. If it was just one man, one could assume it was just his personal taste, but multiple men feeling the same way implies a common thread and in your case, you weren't proactively making strides to be chosen. If this were an ordinary transfer, our agency wouldn't give reports of her sexual experience. Ayusha realizes something, or rather, she already knew it since a long time ago, but this confirms it. The three of them weren't sent in here in some last-ditch attempt to get their unit a major breakthrough after returning from a hiatus. It wasn't any kind of saccharine fantasy like that. The agency simply pawned off these three women and didn't sell to military officers. Do whatever you want with them. May our relations remain favorable. It was as depraved of a story as it could get. They only made them special warfare trooper candidates because that was the only pretense they could use to send women here. This doesn't come to her as a surprise. Our two dead friends might not have considered it possible, but that possibility was always in the back of Yusha's mind. She only tagged along with them so they could keep chasing the dream they longed for so much. She does think it's a good thing she's the one who survived. This would be a living hell for Anne and Yam Yam, who was too naive to live just for the sake of pleasing men. Ayusha thinks it's better that the two of them don't have to spend their days like this. She's the only one who ought to suffer through this hell with no future in sight. Even so, if only they were still alive. Did you have someone you were going steady with? There wasn't anyone the agency knew of, at least. Ayusha thinks to herself that the first lieutenant of a roommate would likely complain that such violation of her privacy is a breach of military regulations. She keeps that thought to herself, though, as she curtly responds to his question. No. I see. Second Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna, despite presenting yourself like a know-it-all, you're actually a passionate, hard worker. He had said this in a more triumphant fashion. Sorry. Had he said this in a more triumphant fashion, Ayusha would have mocked him inside her head, but the way Kinnison speaks is in a detached manner, as if he's only stating the facts. I don't think so, sir. She couldn't admit to that, no matter what. Bringing emotions into the picture would make her infinitely more vulnerable. Men in the show business were drawn to you. That's why you were called and sought out more than the other two. You made sure to behave in a way that attracted their attention. Some women naturally act in ways that attract men, but you had little interest in men. You didn't have any steady lover of the opposite sex. There was no one you particularly cared for. Eventually, Kinnison comes back around in front of her. That would mean, Second Lieutenant, that you knowingly educated yourself on how to sexually satisfy men despite not being particularly attracted to them. It's easier to live that way, that's all. The moment Ayusha says that, she instantly realizes that she's messed up. He didn't ask her for an answer, so she should have remained silent. That way she wouldn't give him any more information than necessary. As it turns out, she's more easily agitated than she thinks she is. Until this point, simply taking off her clothes when asked was enough to make most men pounce on her at once. That was all it took to get them in the mood. However, Kinnison doesn't look like he's even considering doing anything to her. Standing there naked before a man like that makes her feel inferior, shaking her composure. That must be exactly what he wants. If your intent was to drag the other two down beneath you, it would make sense. Ambition is understandable. But that clearly wasn't your intent. There's no records of you being treated any better than them. You're a desirable woman. If you wanted to succeed on your own, there were plenty of ways you could do so. Earnestly forcing yourself to do things you don't want to takes effort. You didn't do so for your own sake. You did it for the sake of the other two. That's why I called you a passionate, hard worker. I don't see myself that way. She shouldn't have said that either. She's clearly shaking. Denying something just for the sake of making a denial is as good as admitting to it. If nothing else, it reveals that she doesn't want to admit to that something. Depending on how one looks at it, you're as obedient and honest as a girl your age could be. Ayusha Petrovna, the agency would never report the way it treated you. Ayusha bites her lip. He set her up. No, he saw right through her. All her bluffs and calculations are transparent to him. Ayusha hasn't even realized that her body's posture has changed. She's on guard, covering herself, and perhaps noticing it. Perhaps not. Commander Kinnison once again walks behind her. Your career record noted that you were more experienced than the other two. That's all. You should have stayed vague and silent a little longer. This man is toying with her. No, all the other men she has met so far were just too simple. She was wrong to assume that all of them would be like that. Right now, Yusha is nothing more than a girl whose secrets have all been exposed. She's at his mercy, both mentally and emotionally. But it's ironic. The fact that you took more men to spare your colleagues may have been a factor in your continued survival here. What do you mean, sir? He's already seen through her, so she may as well act meek so as not to worsen his impression of her. Besides, not being attentive to details could get her killed. A special warfare trooper's power is proportionate to her sexual impulses. The more sexually mature you become, the greater your Holy Grail output is. No! Ayusha swallows in disbelief. She isn't heartless enough of a woman to pretend that she's oblivious to what he's implying. If she hadn't tried so hard to keep men away from the other two for their sake, then they might have survived after all. Ayusha herself already suspected that the more lustful she becomes, the more her performance improves as a special warfare trooper. Well, that's bizarre. That's not what I implied. To survive the first descent into the CC, one needs a great deal of luck and mental fortitude. Sexual maturity isn't the only factor, but at least in your case, it may have been the deciding factor. But even with that said, the fact that Ayusha might have doomed her two friends shakes her to her core. Right now, she feels far more naked and vulnerable than she did the first time she was called upon to service a man. Oof. Kinnison takes her by surprise, pushing her from behind. Ayusha grabs onto the synthetic wood desk. Such a furnishing is a rare luxury out here in space. The fragility of her own voice shocks her. Now then, Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, show me the skills you've taken such great care to hone. Yet at the same time, she feels a little relieved. In this regard, the frightening man is exactly the same as any other nobody. She's been with many men, but more often than not, their physical prowess and sexual technique failed to live up to their inflated egos. Kinnison's hands gently cup her breast from behind. The unfamiliar sensation makes Ayusha, despite herself, let out a sound. Huh? Still, she doesn't want to show any more weakness. She bites her lips, intending to handle him the same way she did all the other men that came before him. This place could use more development, it seems. Her fingers touch him with a tenderness unimaginable from their thick roughness. He starts by rubbing both her breasts with equally light caresses. Countless men have touched her before, but this is the first time Yusha's voice has leaked from her lips so easily. You're still stiff here, as if you've hardly been touched, but there's room for growth, certainly. This time he doesn't merely knead her breasts. His fingers travel softly from the bottoms of her breasts to the colored circles of her areola. It's just not there. It's sensitive. Not there. No one's ever touched her so meticulously before. Ayusha shivers as jolts of electricity run through her. Every spot his fingers touch grows hot. The throbbing of her nipples feels as though it's sinking deeper into her breasts. The only other times she felt like this were when she made love with her two friends. I see. So this place isn't completely underdeveloped. I think I understand. It wasn't with men, but with women, like those two. This experienced man exposes every secret she tries to hide from him by analyzing her most minute responses. I didn't do that, but we weren't like that. It's not as though she's attempting to conceal her homosexuality. It's just that she hates the idea of a stranger knowing how she and her friends reaffirm their relationships. Very well. I won't ask any more then. We all need to keep our secrets. He already learned far too much, though. Her reactions already answered his questions as clearly as if she simply told him. She exposed her secrets with startling ease. The ones who developed your sex drive must have been very gentle. I feel quite sorry for them both. They were very gentle with her, yes. For that sake, Ayusha would have been willing to march through hell and back. But now this disgusting, ugly man is touching her breasts as gently as they did. His fingers gradually sink into her bosoms, discovering her sensitive spots one by one. Ah. No, this can't be. Her fingers, or rather his fingers, as opposite of slender as they could possibly be, gently stimulate the tissue deep within her breast. As his grip suddenly strengthens, Ayusha can feel her breast heating up. Perspiration beads across her skin. Her sweat moistens his hands, letting them move more smoothly. It's like they're melting right through her skin, directly stimulating her most sensitive, pleasant spots. He suddenly clenches down, using his fingertips to encircle the bases of her breasts. Her pale, feminine back twitches and arches. Beads of sweat roll profusely over her skin. So this is where the sensitivity of your breasts comes from, Second Lieutenant. His thumb sinks into the soft, moist skin of her breasts. The sensation makes her glistening body bend backwards. An embarrassing and lusty voice, the likes of which she only ever let those two hear, escapes her lips. Her well-shaped breasts shiver with heat, their fever spreading throughout her limbs. Hot fluids leak from the cleft between her legs. She can feel them rolling down her thighs. To think that a man of all people could make her feel this way. She says, no, I don't want it to feel good. No more. Stop. You must be used to this. Or is this another one of your secrets? I believe they're smaller than publicly announced, but within an acceptable margin. His thick fingers sink into her flesh, gouging into the very cores of her erogenous zones. She has never been touched like this before. He aims for the ends of her breasts now, beginning to tweak them when he reaches his destination. She says, stop focusing on my boobs. For now, all he has done is toy with her. He hasn't even touched her nipples yet, but she already feels this hot. She didn't know there could be so many sensitive places within her breasts until he exposed them. She can't believe she's become so disheveled by this. The fear of what might happen to her next grips her heart. She has to regain the initiative somehow. If it means she can take the reins of the situation even for a short while, then she'll gladly shove her shapely behind against him with suggestive movements, rubbing his member beside the insides of her thighs while begging him to take her. But please, spare me. Commander, I want you. I want you so much. I can't take it anymore. Please. She's saying that because she just wants it to get over with, and he is kind of freaking her out because he knows way more than she thought he did. Half of what she says is true, though some of her composure still remains. All the men she's ever known so far, even the more experienced ones, were unable to overcome their desire to shove themselves into her flushed, excited vagina and conquer her. There's no need to rush. I don't know your sexual preferences that well, you see. Only by knowing the enemy can one truly win. Not there. A strong, nearly painful stimulus suddenly shoots through her nipples. His fat fingers have pinched both at the same time. The soft flesh of her bosom's nubile and perky, despite gravity's pull, shakes violently. He has neglected them intentionally so far. Her nipples stand erect with longing and desire. The shock of them being tweaked is simply that intense. Second Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna, your body is more efficient than you realize. This merits reinforcing your power as a special warfare trooper. As her nipples turn redder than roses, he continues to pull and pinch on them until her breasts stretch into obscene, angular shapes. That's too hard. His offensive exposes all the weak points in her bosoms. When he grasps onto them with both hands, his 10 fingers find weak points inside them. He gropes, pulls, and presses on all of them without mercy. No. This is wrong. This can't be. Her slender fingers spasm in an erotic dance over the desk. So many moans escape from her mouth that breathing becomes difficult. Her nipples are erect to a painful extent as beads of sweat drip off of them. I imagine even those girls didn't realize just how sensitive your body really is. Unlike them, I intend to thoroughly consume your body. She thought she knew her body perfectly well, but now that waves upon waves of pleasure have washing over her, she feels like she no longer recognizes herself anymore. To consume? It's too much. This is too much. I can't breathe. Had she been less experienced, she likely wouldn't have been this badly cornered. All the time she serviced men, all the sweet clandestine lovemaking with her friends, all of that laid the foundation for Kinnison making her squeal with his fingers alone. Her composure has entirely fled her. Subconsciously, without even realizing it, she's been reduced to shaking her glistening behind at him, rubbing herself wantonly against his crotch. But even though she can feel his shaft harden like steel within his uniform trousers, he shows no sign of answering her mating call. Not quite yet, Second Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna. First, I must confirm that your breast sensitivity alone is high enough to make you climax. A shudder runs down Yusha's spine. In all her different and varied sexual experiences, she never once came from just having her breasts teased. Quite the opposite, in fact. She pretended to orgasm in front of men many times before, but only her two friends ever made her truly climax. No man has ever made her come before, yet now this fat, ugly man threatens to do so. Her heart rejects it. She doesn't want to climax at the hands of someone other than her two now departed friends. but what her heart tries to reject, her body craves with burning desire. I don't feel anything. I don't! She tries to bite her lip, but pleasure rushes from her breast like a flood, mercilessly washing away her feeble attempts at resistance. Sweat seeps from her body, wetting the desk. Ayusha flounders upon it like a fish on a chopping board. At this rate, she will shamefully climax just from having her breast toyed with, but suddenly his fingers slacken their grip upon her. Huh? Her voice is so pitiful that she may as well have asked him why he stopped. Just after the pause, when her whole body is flaring up with a desire to be touched more than ever before, that's when he wrings the bases of her breast with the strongest, sharpest twisting yet. Uh-oh. Even though her breasts are hardly large, it feels as though he gathered up their entire volume before squeezing her flesh into tall peaks. The intense shock makes her feel like every ounce of her breast is now standing erect. Her sweat-drenched figure stretches and bends like a bowstring as she lets out high-pitched feminine squeals the likes of which she's never uttered before. Her entire body twitches and trembles. Each of his fat digits squeeze powerfully into her lovely breasts, persistently kneading and changing their shape. With each squeeze, the young officer's gleaming nude form twists and dances in pain and delight. As she lets out intermittent, lustful yelps, her voice comes out in choked, labored gasps. Her upper body collapses across the desk. The crushing sense of defeat from being driven to climax just with her breasts leaves an immense, lasting scar on the sense of pride she built up by remaining frigid toward men up until now. Show me your face, Second Lieutenant. I have to be sure you've climaxed. She's completely drained of strength, but what remains of her shattered pride makes her resist. She doesn't want to give him the satisfaction of seeing her pathetic, slovenly face right now. Show me your face! A slight but widespread pain shoots across her scalp as she grabs onto her hair and pulls her head back. Even now, her exhausted body tries to resist. Kinnison is crafty, though. Although he never once slackens his grip on her, he also makes sure not to inflict pain on her beyond a specific threshold. Ayusha thought that she was accustomed to the violence of men. After all, she has had her share of clients who treated her roughly. Her clothes have been torn off, her face punched, and her hair torn out by the roots. One time she was at mercy of several young, burly men, all ravaging her at once. It was clear to her that some men derive pleasure from inflicting violence on a defenseless partner. But what Kinnison is doing is different from any of that. He holds himself back, causing her the most minimal amount of pain. Yet his calculated motions still bend and force her body into moving the way he wants. Second Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna, show me your face. With her body exhausted from orgasm, she can't resist for long. Her head is lifted, slowly but steadily. Yusha is accustomed to reckless violence, but she is entirely unprepared for such restraint, precise force. Unable to resist him anymore, she raises her head. He's still grabbing her hair, but the pain across her scalp fades away. Only the shame of exposing her flesh slovenly face to him of her own accord remains. He examines her face, her blushed, sweat-drenched cheeks, and her hair, her lips, lewdly parted in expectation, her eyes, still clouded by the afterglow of pleasure. I see you've orgasmed just from your breast, Second Lieutenant. You've nothing to be ashamed of, though. Being sexually sensitive is an important factor for surviving here. She's never orgasmed in front of a man before, and now, not only did this man drive her to climax, he even comforts her after doing so. The humiliating shame of it all makes her cheeks flush with heat. This ugly man made her come, whatever. The thought fills her with anger and confusion. Thinking back on it, there were times in the past when she had to sleep with ugly men before. In the midst of confusion, Ayusha locks her gaze on the man before her. Now let's check your preference here. In terms of appearance, it's nice and radial. No scars or lacerations either. The materials we received imply your experience, though. Thinking back on it, she realizes something. She has seen photos of Commander Kinnison before, but he looks different now. Did something happen to make him look like this? Ayusha herself doesn't yet realize this, but she isn't trying to analyze his personal history and characteristics to better sexually please him. She's truly, genuinely curious as to why he looks like this. It's the first time she has ever felt this way. I'm actually curious myself. However, the lukewarm fog hanging over her mind is soon disrupted by an unusual sensation. An intense, strange feeling of penetration shoots through her anus. It's far too intense a stimulus for her body with how sensitive it still is from recently orgasming. She falls over the desk. She falls over across the desk with a thud, slicking a synthetic wood surface with her saliva and sweat. You're terribly right, but you gave way as soon as you took it all in. This should be enough to equip the special enhancement gear in your rear, too. She says some terms she doesn't... He says some terms she doesn't quite recognize, but she lacks the composure and mental acuity to dwell upon it at the moment. In order to confirm the state of her asshole, he thrusts his fingers inside her 4 times in succession. An almost comical popping sound is created each time he pulls his finger out of her. On this 5th stroke, her butt swallows his thick finger without any resistance. Clench on it. Doing as she's told, Ayusha strains her buttocks. By squeezing down, she can vividly feel the shape of his finger. It didn't take long. It seems you've been trained to be this receptive. I suppose you must have been with someone with a preference for this. He's right. The agency made her service a composer who turned out to have a taste for anal sex. It seems she's completely incapable of hiding anything from Kinnison. She lies completely exposed before him, figuratively and literally. The fact strikes fear into her, the likes of which she has never experienced until this moment. Dread constricts her heart like nothing before ever has. That sensation only serves to confuse her all the more. Another absurd popping sound snaps her out of her confusion. It's the sound of his finger popping out of her butthole. That realization floods her with shame and humiliation all over again. Lastly, I'll confirm the presence of your Holy Grail, Second Lieutenant. This is the part that has the greatest influence on a special warfare trooper's power. Ayusha feels her pulse skyrocket at those words. Oh no, I'm looking forward to this. That realization feels like an alarm, making her panic. She wants this man, but that shouldn't be right. It can't possibly be right. True to the data, your labia majora are quite thick and developed, and you removed your pubic hair down to its roots. That should be useful for a demonstration of the special enhancement gear. Your labia minora are also developed, too. Your clitoris is on the small side. The data is accurate about that, too. It's well covered. But what matters is how sensitive it is, and that can be developed. Let's see how you look on the inside. A wet, sticky, squelching sound of something soft and moist reaches her ears. It should have been a very soft noise, but to her unwilling ears, it sounds far louder than she wants it to. It's the sound of his fingers prying her cleft open. She jolts when she feels cold air flow inside her body. Her vagina shakes with heat, and not only because of her recent orgasm, it drips with juices, her folds gleaming with vivid red. It feels like he's not looking into merely the deepest parts of her body. It's like he can see into her very soul. That thought floods her with fear, but is accompanied by a twinge of sweet intoxication. I see. Your vagina does have some experience, and you clearly keep it regularly sanitized and hygienic. It looks exceptional. I believe you're the ideal choice for next time, Second Lieutenant. Ideal choice? Next time? It seems he's planning to do something to her. She's not sure what it might be, but she gets a sinking feeling that she's somehow being used by him. She can hear the metallic sound of his belt being undone, followed by the sound of his uniform pants zipper being pulled and the rustling of fabric. When she feels the firm warmth of his penis pressing against the valley of her behind, Ayusha swallows expectantly. From the feel of it, his penis isn't as monstrous as his appearance might apply. She's had bigger cocks before. There was one man in particular whose memory she doesn't want to recall. He was confident in his dick's girth, thinking it would be sure to please any woman. His ego was as inflated as his cock, and indeed, he was terrible. All he did was thrust. But how will Kinnison treat her? His thick fingers, the polar opposite of delicate, grab roughly on the useless pale, slender waist. He carefully places the tip of his erect penis against her slit. Ayusha's pulse races even faster. She knows it is pointless to expect anything from a man, yet she can't deny she's excited. It seems likely to her that this will end the same way it has with every other man. At least that's what she hopes. But another part of her wants him to be different. She wants him to be proved wrong, as long as it doesn't turn out to be better than doing it with her 2 friends. Her conflicting, clashing wishes roll around in her mind. It feels like her thoughts are melting into mush. Now then, Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, show me your technique. As his hot, hard cock slowly slips into her, she feels like she's getting what she wanted. A sweet moan leaves her lips. Ayusha feels his large, swollen glands pry his way into her vagina, pushing her folds apart. Never before has she felt a man's cock so vividly. It's quite tight. It's warm as well, and properly moist. Your creases are quite developed for a woman your age. Your potential is quite impressive. He moves his hips in small motions, carefully exploring her insides, just like he did with her breasts. He proves more skillful than any man she's ever known before, finding her sensitive spots one by one. being made to come from having her chest fondled has made Ayusha sensitive. Having her weak spots exposed and stimulated makes her twist and gyrate her hips in lustful motions despite herself. Her body shakes against her will as her insides gleefully welcome the manly girth conquering them, rhythmically clamping down on it. My apologies, Second Lieutenant. You must normally prefer women, and this likely makes you feel quite guilty about those girls. However, heterosexual lovemaking is its own different kind of pleasure. Don't talk about them. She tries to suppress her moans while remembering those two, but despite her efforts, she can't restrain her voice. Each time she fails, the guilt she feels about them stabs into her heart. But the horrible reality is that those memories only elevate her excitement. Being able to compare the pleasure she felt back then to the pleasure right now is making her even more sensitive. Are you thinking about them? About how you fingered and licked each other to feel good? Is that why you're so responsive to me right now? No, you can't. Don't make me compare them to you. You can't be better than they were. You can't. His cock not only stimulates the erogenous zones on the floor and ceiling of her sex, but also exposes weak spots on the walls to either side. As he pries himself further in, the obscene wet noises grow louder. Her vagina shivers with indecent heat as it lustfully accepts the cock invading it. In her heart, Ayusha begs her two departed friends for forgiveness. As he drives Ayusha to utter breathlessness, the tip of his cock finally finds her deepest reaches. This is as far as I can go. I can feel the unique sensation of the CC organ. Have you ever seen it? The CC organ faces the vagina from an angle of depression. It just barely envelops the tip of a man's penis during sex. His voice is calm and unperturbed, but it's clear that he's excited. His cock is even more swollen than it was before he inserted itself inside her. It clings tightly to Yusha's inner folds. She begins to shake her waist, stroking his cock where it's nestled deep within her. She doesn't know if she wants to bring her conqueror to climax faster so that he will release her sooner, or if it's because she wants to take him in deeper and bask in more of his carnal delight. Do you want to end the set quickly? I told you already that there's no need to rush. Ayusha twists her insides, trying to squeeze on his penis deep inside her, along its entire length. The lewd, moist noise of her sweaty hips slapping against his crotch and testicles echoes obscenely through the commander's room. She earnestly strokes his thick, hard rod of flesh. She aggressively tries to excite the man, mingling with her, since no man so far has ever managed to resist ejaculating when she did this. I see. So you know that doing this will bring a man to climax. An interesting technique to know at your age, Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna. I suppose I must meet your little tactic in kind, then. But the moment Ayusha thrusts her waist back, trying to swallow his penis deeper in, he seizes her waist and throws himself forward, thrusting his thick, hard shaft even further in. Their coordinated movements cause her deepest fathoms to become overwhelmed. So deep. Ayusha almost screams outright. Kinnison doesn't let up, though. He jackhammers into her with merciless impunity, continually pumping inside her. Just when she thinks that he's going to thrust deep, he stops halfway, letting her feel the twitching of his cock. Once she gets used to that, he nearly pulls out, teasing her clitoris instead. He says, no, not from the back. He intentionally thrusts his cock a bit further in, tormenting her with his rock-hard glands. Each time he thrusts into her from behind, he exposes and jolts her red, swollen clitoris. The intense stimulus ripping through her leaves her capable of nothing more than writhing helplessly. Like I thought, your clitoris is quite sensitive. It explains your overwhelming accomplishments compared to your peers. As he churns her entrance, hot fluids spill from her like sizzling froth. It fills the room with an obscene fragrance of womanly lust. Each time he thrusts into her from behind, her soft curves jerk as if to proudly present her clithering, ruby-like clitoris crowning her entrance. Ah, this is what being dominated by a man feels like. Ayusha is torn between frustration and pleasure. All the things the men who slept with her used to say they would do to her now are becoming reality. By now, her pale body is drenched with sweat and nectar. No matter how hard she tries to clench her jaw and keep her mouth shut, her lips somehow still fall open and slovenly display. His attacks on her vagina leave her gasping. Even though she can hardly breathe, he won't let this end. When a penis stimulates the CC organ, it enters a state of heightened activity. Can you feel it? He suddenly gouges deep into her, driving Yusha into another orgasm, her entire body spasms, sending her matted locks whipping through the air. I came, don't do any more, I'll go crazy, let me rest. But he gives her no respite. Or he gives her no respite, only continuing to constantly poke at her deepest parts. Each time he hits the edge of the CC organ, pleasure echoes through the midsection, through her midsection into the rest of her body. She isn't allowed to descend from the heights of climax for even a moment. No more! No more, please spare me. Let me rest, please, I beg of you, I'm gonna go insane. Her mind can't form thoughts anymore. Sparks pop beyond her ears as pleasure flashes through. Hold on. Sparks pop behind her eyes as pleasure flashes like lightning inside her head. An ominous, massive warmth swells up in her stomach. It tears her apart as if seizing her identity up until now, then ripping it to pieces. But maybe that's fine. If it lets her burn this intensity, then so be it. She says, this is so amazing. This cock is amazing. Commander, you're amazing. She says, my body, my pussy, they love this. Ayusha has said such words to a man before, but she was faking it back then. Her brain loses the capacity to form thoughts. Everything simply feels good. It feels like her entire body is one great big erogenous zone. Then I'll come. Accept every drop, Second Lieutenant. A hot bulge swells up inside her, bulging her to the core. Did I say that right? Burning her to the core. This is incredible. Okay, she just says this is incredible. Oh, Ayusha screams out one last time and then everything goes dark. Leaving the shower room attached to the commander's office, Ayusha hangs her head. She can't bring herself to look the commander in the eye. She doesn't know how long it's been since she was forced into that spectacular orgasm. All she knows is that she suddenly woke up on the sofa, her body covered with a towel. The sweat and bodily fluids have been wiped off her skin, but the thick scent of lovemaking and the sweet, heavy sensation lingering in her belly remained as evidence of what he did to her. Commander Kinnison was seated at his desk, working as if nothing out of the ordinary had occurred. Upon seeing Ayusha come to, he told her to go take a shower in a completely natural, collected tone of voice. As she showered, the shame of this man exposing everything about her washed over her again. She dreaded having to see him once more. At the end of it all, she was reduced to screaming and moaning out of profanities. None of it was an act. He even cleaned up the mess she made. He probably resents her for it. But she couldn't stay in the shower forever. She found a folded special warfare trooper combat uniform in the shower's small changing room. While putting it on, Ayusha tried to step back into her usual persona. However, even now, her body still cringes with fear, leaving her standing still with her head hung low. I have a task for you tomorrow, but Commander Kinnison simply starts talking casually. The order he gives her, as she feared, a pretty terrible one. Hold on. The order he gives her is, as she feared, a pretty terrible one. In fact, it's probably the worst job she's ever gotten. She's got jobs similar to this a few times back on Earth. Although she told her two roommates she only went as far as wearing string bikinis, things didn't stop there toward the end of her career. Even back on Earth, she was bound by contractual obligations. She went from skimpy swimsuits to modeling in the nude, and that of course led to the people in charge insisting she sleep with them. But even without any contracts binding her now, she can't oppose this man who knows everything about her. With their conversation concluded, she excuses herself, but... Second Lieutenant, earlier I said the three of you were sold off to us. That means it was decided you would be sent here regardless of your compatibility for the role. Yes, I remember, sir. She defaults to using her formal mode of speech without even intending to. But you were still chosen based on your abilities. Even disregarding that deal, all three of you passed the qualifications, and of your group, you have the highest compatibility score. Kinnison raises his head and gazes at Ayusha. You came to this base because of your abilities and potential, Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna. You can take pride in that. And of course, compared to those who graduated from the Officer's Academy, your knowledge and training are sorely lacking. But you're a fast learner, aren't you? I trust you will survive the trials ahead. Dismissed. March 1st. General briefings are only held when there are matters that must be relayed to all troopers. They aren't a daily occurrence, and are sometimes held as few as 3 times a month. But this time there's a different, more tense atmosphere hanging over the rookie officers. After all, normally these briefings are simple oral presentations given by Captain Cersei Bernhard, but today... It was decided the other day that the newly introduced CC Flyer will be officially designated as Umbrella. Today, Commander Kinnison is standing next to her. They haven't seen him since their briefing on that first day, which implies there's some kind of important announcement coming. Cersei continues speaking in a businesslike fashion, either unaware of the rookie officer's nervousness or choosing to tactically ignore it. I think the word was tacitly. Umbrellas are confirmed to have no offensive powers, but are extremely sturdy and durable. They are a considerable threat to special warfare troopers that employ optical weapons as their primary armaments. The tactics you are to employ in case you encounter the CC Flyer have been decided. Groups that are deemed by HQ as incapable of defeating them are only to monitor them. Groups that can fight them off are to await reinforcements. Minori's heart beats fast. She's trembling with excitement. It was their group that proved the Umbrellas could be defeated. They bear more responsibility now, but it's a worthwhile burden to carry. It's been 3 years since the CC have introduced a new enemy type to the battlefield. We suspect the CC's offensive may intensify going forward. To deal with the situation, HQ has decided that the rookie troopers will need to swiftly elevate their combat prowess. As such, the details of your recon missions will change accordingly. Up until now, you have been deploying in 5 groups of 3 troopers each. That number will be decreased to 4 groups. To compensate, 2 units of rookie officers will accompany the offensive recon missions that take place once every day. Your restructured deployment schedule has already been forwarded to your terminals. You are to confirm them after this briefing. Minori clenches her fist, trying to suppress her joy. This makes her even more excited than the mention of the Umbrellas. She will finally be dispatched to the front lines as a special warfare trooper. This could be her chance to fight side by side with Lysette. No, this is more than just a chance. Minori would definitely be on the deployment schedule. But what if she ends up just being a burden? No, she'll be fine, for sure. Ayesha has the most impressive achievements out of all the rookies. They say her performance puts her on par with the veterans. Her special warfare gear's power is mighty enough to have earned the moniker Gugnir. And Nana, while not having as many skills, stands head and shoulders above her peers in terms of defensive prowess. With Nana's solid defenses to back her up, Minori can safely go on defensive. Minori's skilled with melee combat, while Nana's good at defending, and Ayesha has her powerful ranged armaments. Minori believes they make for a fine team. So long as the 3 of them work together, performance shouldn't shame them in the eyes of their seniors. Lysette might even speak to them. Maybe she'll remember what happened back on Mars. Ayesha, are you okay? Yanked out of her reverie, Minori looks at Ayesha. Ayesha always stands with dignity and composure, now looks awfully nervous. In fact, she even looks slightly pale. Ayesha, are you feeling sick? I can take you to the infirmary. Ayesha gives her a stiff, awkward smile. I'm fine. Her voice comes across oddly flat, but Minori can't bring herself to dig for details while they're still in the middle of briefing. This includes my briefing, then, but today Commander Kinnison wishes to speak with you. A wave of tension washes over the rookie cadets. While this man may look fat and unsightly, they all recognize him as the commander of the base, the king of this castle. Kinnison steps onto the podium. Attention on deck. Minori salutes quickly. She, together with the alumni of the Officer's Academy, all perform perfect salutes. The other rookie's salutes have improved since last time, but they all still lack coordination. As Captain Cersei previously said, the CC have recently introduced a new strain into the fold, and it greatly saddens me to inform that five of your peers have already perished fighting them. The commander trails off, looking around at the rookies as if waiting for the reality of what he said to sink in. 5 out of 56 is by no means a small number. A heavy, gloomy atmosphere settles over them all. These are opponents that even experienced special warfare troopers with more than 2 years of fighting under their belt having trouble defeating. Wow. Hold on, let's do that again. These are opponents that even experienced special warfare troopers with more than 2 years of fighting under their belt have trouble defeating. They're far too great a threat for you rookies at the moment. You are precious soldiers, and we wish to avoid losing any more of you. As such, we decided to supply you with a Type 8 special enhancement gear a month ahead of schedule. What? The Type 8 special enhancement gear, cutting-edge piece of equipment developed in the year 2108. Or at least that's what Minori guesses based on its name. Something seems off about all this, though. Typically, mastering new equipment requires intense, thorough training. Despite that, the rookies are being sent out on offensive recon missions earlier. Do they intend for them to train during their normal recon missions while acquiring real combat experience on the offensive missions? Won't cutting corners like that only increase their casualty rates? However, while we've moved the schedule ahead, we do not have enough equipment to accommodate for all of you. As such, only those who have shown the most impressive results will be granted the new gear and sent to the front lines. This only deepens Minori's suspicions. It sounds like he's saying that they'll be given the new gear without any training. I wish to stress that this is all in the name of rapidly reinforcing your powers and decreasing your losses. But there's no way they'd be able to make effective use of new equipment if they aren't given time to properly master it. The commander has to know this. I realize some of you may be apprehensive as to whether you'll be able to use the new gear without any training, but be at ease. The commander continues as if addressing Minori's doubts. By simply having the special equipment enhancement gear equipped, it will actively augment your existing abilities. And to answer the question of how it magnifies your powers without need for any training, we will now hold a practical demonstration to illustrate its use. A demonstration? What kind of demonstration? Are they going to hold some kind of mock battle between a special warfare trooper equipped with a Type 8 special enhancement gear and one without it? But special warfare troopers all employ different armaments. How would such a match prove anything without being a fair comparison to begin with? Second Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna. Yes, sir. Minori's gaze jumps over to her beautiful roommate's face. Ayusha is still pale, but her gaze is collected, even dignified. Her head is held up high. Is she informed of us ahead of time? You hold the most striking track record of all the rookies. As such, as part of your next deployment, you and Group 14 will be joining the offensive recon mission. As such, it's been decided that you will be the first to be issued the special enhancement gear. Step forward. Yes, sir. Ayusha steps forward with a stride that almost seems elegant. Someone, or rather, specifically Nana, starts clapping. The applause spreads out like a ripple among the rookies. After a moment's delay, Minori joins in too. But Minori has mixed feelings about this. Something feels off. After all, Yusha has killed less enemies than Minori has. Purely in terms of the highest CC kill count, Group 2's Alicia Orion, Group 9's Amondi Kabika, and Group 3's Zujalon have more kills. If that were the only factor that mattered, they should have been picked over Ayusha. But combat results aren't a simple game where just one score is measured against another. It's thanks to Ayusha's bits allowing for preemptive attacks and her overwhelmingly powerful ranged attacks that Minori and Nana can play their own roles as a vanguard and defender. Ayusha's Gugnir was a major factor in Minori's group defeating the Umbrella. Even still, some part of Minori wishes she could have been the one named here. She can't deny that she feels that way. The fact that there's a part of her that can't sincerely rejoice in her comrade being honored fills her with self-loathing. But she's not alone. Very few of the Military Academy alumni are reacting favorably to this. Minori doesn't notice it herself, but many of the alumni are hiding their dissatisfaction and frustration at Yusha, who came from a civilian background, being the first to get this prize. Some of them go so far as to audibly click their tongues and start whispering maliciously about her. Some of the other civilian rookies catch on to the reactions from the Academy alumni, creating a rift of discord between the two groups. Walking amidst her fellow soldiers' gazes of dislike, praise, prejudice, and envy alike, Ayusha fiercely steps forward to the podium. Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, the Special Warfare Troopers are the stars of this battlefield, and you are worthy of standing here. Thank you, sir. I'm honored. It seems to Minori like Yusha's voice is trembling slightly from stress. Maybe she's the only one who recognizes it, since she's more familiar with Yusha. After taking the podium in place of Commander Kinnison, Yusha turns to face the rest of the rookies. The Special Warfare Trooper combat uniform clearly shows off the shapely curves of her beautiful figure, as we can see. Minori has gotten used to seeing Yusha after a couple of months here, but looking at her like this really drives home how overwhelmingly gorgeous she is. Minori feels like Yusha is her polar opposite, serving as an example of just how unsightly and unattractive Minori is by contrast. As I'm sure you already know, mankind employs the mysterious, unexplainable force field generated by the CC tissue in your wombs to oppose the aliens. Your combat experience has likely made it clear to you that those who possess holy grails in their bodies can change the force field shape at will. In other words, if the CC tissue can be stabilized into a constantly stimulated, overactive state, it can produce a more powerful force field and allow you to utilize your special warfare gear at higher levels of power output. Higher levels? Those words make Minori's face burn hot up to her ears. It reminds her of the humiliating state that sorties leave her in, resulting in her trips to that abandoned bathroom. The sensation of how she used her wand to stimulate her vagina plays out vividly in her mind, causing her stomach to tighten slightly. How can she be thinking of such a thing while the commander himself is briefing them? She shakes her head, banishing the thought from her mind. As such, I want to explain that these three devices from the Special Enhancement Gear form the Special Enhancement Gear, which implements the concept I just described. A male officer steps forward, bearing a large metallic trunk tall enough to reach his knees. He places it down next to Commander Kinnison before stepping aside. The commander opens the trunk, displaying its contents to Yusha. Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, this is your Type 8 Special Enhancement Gear. Tuned to your personal specifications, please confirm the contents of the container. Very well. Excuse me, sir. Ayusha's shapely hands elegantly hold up the device. A screen above the podium flickers to life, displaying a zoomed in view of the object. The device shines with a black, metallic glow. It looks like a triangle with its vertices rounded away. The hole in the center is surrounded by a ring-like protrusion. This is one of the Type 8 Special Enhancement Gear's upper devices. Two of these are placed over the tips of your breasts. The commander's voice is as somber and grave as ever, so the inherent strangeness of his words doesn't immediately register for the Special Warfare Troopers. Huh? Are those nipple covers? Standing next to Minori, Nana raises her voice hysterically. Minori stares at her as if wondering what's gotten into her. By placing this gap over the tip of your breast, the suction device carried between its three legs will automatically stick to your skin and fix itself onto you. But after some momentary doubt, the meaning of what he said just dawns on her. What Nana just whispered might be true. Minori's not the only one to reply with shock. Others raise their voices in surprise despite trying to contain themselves. Some even gasp outright. There is only one way they can interpret what he just said. They're supposed to put their nipple into the hole so that the device will stick to their breast. That can't be true. This must be some kind of misunderstanding. A military device can't be something so bizarre, sexual, and profane. Ayusha returns that device as a special enhancement gear back into the trunk before pulling out a different part, once again displaying it upon her palm. It seems to be made from similar material, shining with a metallic black color. In contrast to the previous device, however, this one is fairly large. My god. And it looks like two triangles, one larger and one smaller, that are connected at their tips. Each triangle has a cylindrical protrusion extending from its outer side. The protrusion extending from the small triangle is thinner than the one extending from the larger triangle. This is a Type 8 Special Enhancement Gear's lower device. It is equipped over your groin. Ah, it looks like a sex toy. Nana runs her mouth in a panic again. Minori wishes she could scold her for speaking nonsense, but the front protrusion is inserted into your vagina with the rear protrusion is inserted into your anus. If properly put on, it should be easy to install and remove. The rookie's aghast reactions come much sooner than last time. As I've explained earlier, your holy grails operate in accordance to your thoughts. If your thoughts can maintain a stable state of stimulated activity, the power of your special warfare gear should increase. Yet the commander's voice remains as detached and collected as it was earlier. And as you likely already realize, sexual excitement correlates directly to the strength of your force fields. These two devices are to increase your sexual excitement and keep the output of your force fields constantly elevated. Minori finally understands. She doesn't want to, but there's no escaping it. The special enhancement gear will make the sexual urges she feels after returning from a deployment that much harder, hotter, and more intense. The hot shame she feels about it already burns so fiercely that it seems she might be reduced to ashes, so the thought of it becoming worse is terrifying. And as we've confirmed, some of you have experienced before, once you cross a certain threshold of sexual excitement, the special warfare gear comes undone, as is necessary for flight through outer space. Such a risk is a matter of life and death. Minori's never experienced that, but if a powerful force field is accompanied by high sexual arousal, maybe Yusha already had it happen to her. Minori looks at Yusha. Her well-featured face betrays no loss of composure, though her expression is oddly stiff. Stiff! It's like she's actively suppressing her emotions. Wow. Ayusha's like a professional. These protrusions aren't simply to elevate sexual arousal, though. In the event they detect that your arousal will exceed the threshold your consciousness can manage, they will swiftly apply a sedative. The commander calmly continues his explanation. As such, it was designed in the way you see here both to directly stimulate the Holy Grail, which produces a force field, and to directly inject the sedative into it should circumstances demand it. Correct. His voice and intonation are no different than how one might explain the function of a typical home appliance. That concludes the explanation then. However, many require more than a mere verbal explanation to understand properly. As such, we'll be holding a demonstration of how to equip the device and check its functionality. The commander turns his eyes to Ayusha before giving his next order in a totally natural tone. Second Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna, please demonstrate the process of equipping these devices. For one brief moment, Ayusha's face slightly contorts in displeasure. It's the first time she betrays such an emotion. Minori suddenly throws her hand up into the air on reflex. Commander, First Lieutenant Minori Izuka of G-14, asking for permission to speak. Nana glances anxiously at Minori, as if telling her not to bother. The commander fixes his gaze upon Minori. The look in his eyes is calm and serene. Permission to speak, granted. Sir, I believe the order you just gave Second Lieutenant Petrovna intrudes upon her basic human dignity and stands in opposition to military regulations. If I may be so bold, I ask that you reconsider. Ayusha turns to look at Minori, a surprise clear in her eyes. The very structure of these devices means that putting them on would require Ayusha to be naked in front of the rest of the Special Warfare Troopers. Not only would she be naked, but she would have to openly and clearly display her genitals and anus. This insane order goes against her human rights. I see. Your opinion is a valuable one, First Lieutenant Minori Izuka. An organization that does not question itself is bound to fall apart. I make sure to remind myself of that fact. I thank you for lending an ear to my opinion, sir. Relief fills Minori. Now Yusha won't have to go through this indignation. However, I'm afraid you made a crucial misunderstanding, First Lieutenant Izuka. A misunderstanding, sir? The order I've just given would be seen as intolerable during peacetime. However, the UEF has officially granted me certain authorities. Special Wartime Disciplinary Regulation Number 5, Clause 2 grants me full authority over this space sector. We are at war here, and as the chief commander of the space, I have responsibilities and authorities. Among them is the authority to temporarily suspend any and all rights you have at my discretion. The commander's massive form swells up with menace. You possess powers that defy all human comprehension, and my role is to utilize you as soldiers, no, as weapons, that are the sole means of resisting our enemies. I have the vital, sacred duty of using any means available to elevate your abilities to their upper limits so that you may defeat our enemies with maximum efficiency. As such, my order is reasonable, valid, and justifiable. The pressure emanating from him is enough to completely stifle any whispering or stirring among any other special warfare troopers. Yet Minori doesn't relent. Yes, sir, but... First Lieutenant Minori Izuka, should you survive this war and return to Earth, you may report this matter to my superiors and have me indicted for these actions. The commander's voice is an almost gentle, even kindly tone to it. You have the right to do so, but now is not the time to exercise that right. It's like he's softly speaking to an innocent child. You may find this unacceptable, but at this place and time, you will have to accept it. Should you continue to protest against my authority, I will have no choice but to have you restrained for insubordination and punished accordingly. However, all you have done so far is exercise your natural rights, and I would prefer to avoid temporarily rendering a useful soldier such as yourself unavailable for combat. I will also add that all special warfare troopers who have survived longer than 1 year wear these devices, with the exception of Lizette Augereau. Minori can do nothing but fall quiet. This was all decided long before now. Every special warfare trooper who served longer than a year here accepted this as part of the natural order. However, it seems that even among them, Lizette is somehow special. Does anyone else have anything to say? The commander looks around at the cadets. Various levels of confused silence hang over the group. Second Lieutenant Yusha Prochovna, please demonstrate the process of equipping these devices. Yusha closes her eyes for a second, and then... Yes, sir. To Minori, it feels like a short pause before Yusha answered... The short pause before Yusha answered was her way of demonstrating her hesitation. The sight of her shaking off that hesitation becomes a resolute, gallant display. Yusha presses the button on her uniform's collar, beginning to take it off. The Special Warfare Trooper combat uniform collar is unique. It unravels from behind, like a butterfly's chrysalis. She bends forward, as if to show off her lithe figure, pulling the outfit down to her knees and stepping out of it. Her movements make it seem like she isn't about to be subjected to a two-way humiliation that would make almost anyone regret having been born a woman. Her naked form is breathtaking. Sleek, silvery locks. Beautiful hands, slender down to her fingertips, breasts roughly the same size as Minori's, but far prouder and more perky. A shapely, oblong navel, a curvy waist, a fair, feminine crotch with a pretty, hairless slit crossing it, long, well-proportioned legs. Everything about her is like a work of art. Even at a time like this, the sight of Yusha fills Minori with a sense of inferiority. Were Minori in Yusha's place, could she ever be this bold yet dignified? Yusha reaches into the open trunk. After a moment's hesitation, she takes out one of the upper devices of the Type 8 special enhancement gear, carefully placing it over her left nipple. It locks onto her with a strange clicking sound. A gasp escapes Yusha's lips, perhaps from the stimulation her nipple receives. As Second Lieutenant Petrovna demonstrated, equipping the device is quite simple. Simply place the hole over your nipple. An internal sensor will automatically determine your shape so that three legs can attach the device to you in the most comfortable way possible. Indeed, the device seems to attach itself to Yusha's breast quite securely, to the point where it almost looks like nothing more than some kind of black enamel body paint. It was designed to be incapable of being removed on your own in the middle of a mission, in order to reduce the risk of it malfunctioning and coming off inadvertently. They can't remove the devices by themselves? That fact fills Minori with anxiety. While Commander Kinnison gives his commentary, Yusha puts the second device onto her right nipple, almost as if she's using his words as a distraction. The pink color of her nipples seem to pop out now that it's framed by the black enamel. It's a lascivious sight. Part of Minori screams out that surely this is no different from walking around naked. Some of the Military Academy alumni gaze at Yusha with sneers, as they think this is what the civilian gets for butting in and stealing their thunder. But Minori, are we going to be like that too? Minori wishes she could confront Nana here, but she can't come up with anything good to say. After all, she's as much a part of this as Nana is. But we'll be fine. Lizette doesn't have to put it on, so there's probably some people to get by without it. Right. It's painful to even say it. Nana's response isn't out of gratitude to Minori for trying to put her mind at ease. It's clear she doesn't believe what Minori just said one bit. Second Lieutenant Petrovna, please repeat your orders. The commander's voice is calm, but it somehow seems to lash against Yusha like a whip. Yes, sir. I am to demonstrate the process of equipping these devices. Yusha reaches into the trunk again. She doesn't hesitate this time, but that only seems to stress how coercive this situation truly is for her. Even after being told how the shape of the device is due to its function, she can't see the type... 8 Special Enhancement Gear, despite its ostentatious name, is anything other than an obscene sex toy. Yusha exhales once before bringing the obscene device to her crotch from below. The awful device's tip presses against her closed lower lips. From the zoomed-in image on display, Minori can see that the tip of the device is swallowed up like a snake swallowing an egg. Thick, round protrusions cover its surface, not just the tip, but all the way down its length as well. Ayusha attentively pushes the device in, but seems to hesitate at the last moment. With the tip of the device prying her folds open, details as fine as a small hole of urethra and the slight ripples running across her slim labia minora are laid bare. Rest assured, it's been adjusted to match your vagina's measurements as we previously recorded. It has the flexibility needed to adjust to you. The agonized Ayusha takes a deep breath, squeezes her eyes shut, and drives the device into her vagina. Ayusha's naked form immediately shivers and twitches as she bites her lips so hard they turn white. Some of the surrounding special warfare troopers snicker scornfully at how Ayusha fails to hold in her pain moans. Those of you who laughed, let me ask you this. Since you feel comfortable laughing at Second Lieutenant Petrovna, should I take that as confidence that you'd be able to handle this better than she is? Some of the other officers awkwardly avert their gaze. Nana's face is frozen solid with shock. Minori's expression is probably the same as hers. Ayusha simply looks that pitiful. Even though the device is now inserted into her body, she hasn't yet properly equipped it. The rear triangle dangles from her crotch, with the protrusion that's meant to enter her anus hanging over the floor. When engulfed by this much disgrace and shame, even this proud girl has to hang her head and bite her lips as her whole body flushes red with arousal. Yet the sweet washing over her lends her nude form a seductive glint, giving her an eerily beautiful aura. Second Lieutenant Petrovna, you've just provided us with an important example of how not to equip the device. Inserting the device into your rectum is difficult when it's already entered your vagina. Both tips should be inserted at the same time. A heavy silence hangs over the room, broken only by the groans of a few of the special warfare troopers. Minori suppresses the shivers running through her body. This time, she's not shaking with excitement, but from disgust and fear so strong that they're almost palpable. She knows that certain people engage in anal intercourse, but of course, given her personality and way of life so far, she's never experienced it herself. So Ayusha forced that thing into herself. Won't it just damage her orifice? Have all the senior officers really done such a thing? And they were okay with it? I'm sure many of you have never had objects inserted into your anus. To accommodate your inexperience, you can be provided with models without rear parts. They can be added later as attachments, so that's not a problem. So many unbelievable things have happened in quick succession that not everyone is listening to his words. Because of that, most of the special warfare troopers fail to realize the terrifying implications of his statement. Firstly, the lack of a rear part will leave their anus constantly exposed. Secondly, even if they aren't capable of equipping the rear part immediately, they are expected to be able to do so later. Second Lieutenant, this time equip it properly by simultaneously inserting both tips. Despite how utterly horrible these orders are, the commander's voice remains as somber and grave as ever. Its stoic, unchanging nature is almost kindly. Yes. Ayusha pulls out the device as in to reinsert it again. Her slit widens to match the device's shape as it comes out of her. She carefully extends her hands downward, passing the two tips of the device to both of her holes. She can no longer maintain a dignified facade. Seemed like sacrifice laid upon altar, she moves quickly in order to finish the act as quickly as possible. Ayusha bites her lips hard, squeezes her eyes shut, and drives the two tips of the device into both her vaginal and anal openings. With her shivering, pale body now blushing crimson, Ayusha successfully inserts the Type 8 special enhancement gear into her graceful body. Now, there's like two reasons for this. If you guys don't notice, basically, this also stops them from getting into the girls. Because remember, that's what they do. That's what they did. They did kill some of them like that. But because they've got protection over the vagina and anus, they can't infect them with their CC organs. Which I know they already have them, but I don't know what happens if they put more in. Like, I'm not really sure. Also, you know, they can tear them apart and things like that. So if they don't have if they have these devices, they can block that sort of thing. With her shivering pale body now blushing crimson, Ayusha successfully inserts the Type 8 special enhancement gear into a graceful body. Excellent work, despite this being your first time, Second Lieutenant Petrovna. You haven't finished fully equipping it, though. Do you remember? You must clench up both of your holes, or both the devices might pop out. Ayusha nods, pathetically holding on to both sides of the device with her hands. Minori screams in her heart, begging for him to let her stop already. If the front part isn't properly attached, you cannot successfully attach the lower device. Perhaps it is necessary that I explain the proper method of attaching the front part. The ring-like sections of the front part of the lower device are called stimulation rings. They need to clamp down on the base of the clitoris in order to allow it to effectively stimulate you there. The commander's tone is entirely serious, like that of a priest chanting during a religious ceremony, and only serves to accentuate just how bizarre his words actually are. In other words, the second lieutenant will either need to open her clitoral heart herself, or have someone else do it for her in order to properly attach the stimulation rings. I'm sure that for some of you, having a bundle of nerves like the clitoris stimulated mechanically is a very frightening prospect, but the stimulation rings continually secrete lubricant gel. It's been scientifically proven that the stimulation rings do not damage internal tissues. The military sees the preservation of your health as a matter of utmost importance. So what will you choose, Second Lieutenant? Will you pry yourself open, or will you have someone lend you a hand? Minori can hear Nana whispering in disbelief. Wow, when I saw him standing there next to Ayusha when she's all naked, I thought he was just some horny old man, but his dick isn't even hard. No, he's very, very serious. Like, everything he's talking about is extremely serious. This is obvious a war that is fought with sexual means, which is extremely rare, but they're taking it super serious. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. This is taken really seriously. Her other roommate's words leave Minori in disbelief. Just where is she looking at a time like this? I'll handle it myself. Ayusha manages to answer in a feeble voice as she moves her hands away from her crotch. Very well. I believe you can do it, Second Lieutenant. Her belly now gleaming with sweat. Spasms as she applies force to her core. Even so, the devices slip out little by little. The screen behind her displays her genitals and anus, which are still holding onto the device in vivid detail. Her labia minora clamped down around the protrusion just like a pair of lips. Her slender, trembling fingers touch her clitoral hood and peel it back, exposing a vivid red, shining bead of flesh. Moist from body fluids, it shines brightly. The region hidden by her clitoral hood is huge, meaning the area surrounding the base of her clitoris is clearly visible. One of her fair hands keeps the clitoral hood open, while her other hand brings the device ring-like part onto her red bead. When she passes it over her clitoris, the ring squeezes down hard around its root. As Ayusha lets out a pathetic screech, a few snickets fill the room. Right now, as it is fixed on her clitoris, the device expanded inside her vagina and rectum so it wouldn't slip out. Can whoever laughed just now say with confidence that they wouldn't raise their voice if they were in her place? Another awkward silence follows. Despite appearances, you'll find I have quite a good memory. Those left earlier and now will perform another demonstration just like this one, when they're inevitably provided with their own special enhancement gear. The commander's tone makes it clear that he will act on his words. It's already a fact that they would be shamed in front of everyone else. A terrified silence fills the deployment port. Second Lieutenant, how does it feel to wear the device? The commander's thick voice echoes through the silence. Right now, it still feels unpleasant, but I will get used to it. One couldn't accurately say that her voice is refined or calm, but it's clear that Yusha is forcing herself to remain as collected as she possibly can be right now. However, merely wearing it won't illustrate its effects to the other special warfare troopers, correct? I ask that you continue just demonstrating it for a while longer. Yes, sir. Now then, try to imagine something sexually arousing. You don't need to say what it is. As you do, try to maintain your composure as you would during combat. Ayusha closes her eyes. There's a thick, low-pitched thud. A minute later, she lets out a high-pitched moan. It stands to reason that you would raise your voice, Second Lieutenant. Your Holy Grail entered an active state. Once the device detected that, it began operation. The devices attached to her nipples vibrate loudly. The screen zooms in on her nipples, making it clearly visible that they're growing hard. It's possible to fight like this. She recovers from the surprising stimulation, biting her lips to suppress the sweet moans currently escaping her lips. She tries to stand firm like a soldier, though she only barely manages it. The ring parts rotate, with small protrusions inside them releasing tiny jolts of electricity to stimulate the nerves within the nipples. That's only the first phase. Yusha's body, soaked with sweat, twitches and jolts. She flounders like a fish out of water. Her sweat drenched in her thighs spasm. She's reduced to openly drooling as climax washes her over. Or over her, rather. Once your sexual arousal crosses a certain threshold, the lower device kicks in, instantly amplifying your sexual stimulation. I'm still fine. I can shoot Gugnir like this. Like before, Yusha bites her lips in a desperate attempt to maintain her composure. But her pale limbs, dripping with sweat, continue to dance in spasm. It's painfully clear that she is only barely withstanding this. The ring part attached to her clitoris will then begin working in tandem, roughly in tandem with the upper devices. In other words, your clitoris will also be stimulated. But there is a third phase coming. This is too much. Not at the same time. Not my butt, too. Ayusha's entire body twists and bends. Her fair silvery locks dance through the air. The commander gently extends his arm toward her. Hold on to me. Ayusha grabs onto his extended arm with both her hands, like a drowning sailor clinging to driftwood. This barely keeps it from collapsing. Like, thank you, this is too much, I can't fight. As her waist buckles pathetically, fluids drip freely and out from under the device, moistening her inner thighs. It's fine, you shouldn't rush. Given time, you become capable of fighting in this state. No, not even in this state, but in states of greater stimulation. So don't look at me, don't look at me like this. Please. She sways on her feet with her toes pointed towards each other, terribly shamed and only capable of pathetically clinging for dear life onto the arm thrust before her. The devices inside your vagina and anus just swelled up simultaneously and have begun expanding and contracting continually right inside your body. How awful! Is that truly what it's doing to her? Minori only just barely holds back from shouting out. This is horrible. Simply too awful. Why does becoming stronger have to involve something like this? Not simultaneously. I've never felt this before. Pull it out. No, don't pull it out. I can take this. I can bear it. I can still fight. Fluids are also seeping out from around the section of the device that covers her anus. The stimulation in her ass is causing an overflow of intestinal fluids. The sight of Ilusha looking so wretched and abused hits Minori like a punch. But if she has to put it on to get stronger, no, she'll become even stronger without this. Lisette doesn't have to put it on after all. But if she were to put this on, Minori would likely become just as pathetically disheveled. And what would become of her then? What is she thinking? She will bear this. The CC's tissue activity increases in proportion to your sexual excitement, allowing you special warfare troopers to utilize your special warfare gear at a higher rate of output. However, letting your sexual enhanced excitement continue to peak like this runs the risk of your special warfare gear coming undone. There's no need for concern, though. Ayusha's pale, sweat-drenched form spasms hard as her knees threaten to buckle. She barely stays on her feet, staring blankly into space. Commander Kinnison envelops Ayusha's hands with his palms and says soothingly, "Second Lieutenant, you hung on to the very end. You have completed your task spectacularly." Her face turns bright red before the commander gently releases her hands. Just before you reach sexual climax, the sensor detects this, causing the lower device to inject a sedative directly into the CC tissue. This prevents your special warfare gear from coming undone. I expect you to master the use of this gear so that you may elevate your strength to its utmost limit. You're all dismissed. Second Lieutenant Petrovna, you've completed your given task. Well done. Ayusha manages a feeble salute. And now the battle has begun. Well, that's a good spot to leave off for now. We got two age scenes. One that was informative, shows you how their gear works. And the second one was to test her abilities to see if she could fit the gear. It's very interesting. I love how the commander is explaining this stuff so serenely. It's not like he's not aroused at all. It's just like, this is a war and this is a mission. And he's explaining it like stone cold sober. It's crazy. It's like, yes, this is how this device stimulates the vagina and blah, 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 blah. And it's, man, it's scholarly in a way. It's very surprising. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will be back with more Dead Analogous. But for now, we're out on Grim Sentai Corner.